Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing episode 105. I'm Kevin. I got my co-host here, Giannis, with me. How you doing, bro?
What up, what up?
What up, what up? All right, we are recording this on a beautiful... Yeah, exactly. Beautiful Monday, February the 12th. We got a lot to talk about, but first, I just want to say congrats to my man over here. He's got some special Valentine's Day plans. I just want to say congrats.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking. See. That's why I gotta see. I should have just stayed quiet because now I'm gonna start talking. I should have stayed quiet. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm just doing the right things. I'm staying organized.
Listen. You're the man of the hour. Just do what you got to do. You know. That's all I'm gonna say.
You know what that means. I don't know what that means.
I'm keeping it encrypted just to be funny. It's fine. We got AFCON to talk about. We got some Bundesliga news to talk about. Poor Harry Kane. We'll talk about some other leagues. La Liga, Serie A, the Prem, obviously. We'll wrap it up with some Asian Cup news because I feel like everybody was kind of, especially us, I guess, definitely paying more attention to the AFCON this time around. With the Asian Cup kind of like happening simultaneously, and there was some pretty big like upsets and stuff that happened. We'll touch on that. But let's just get right into it. AFCON, Ivory Coast champions. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. And they, oh man, they left it down to the wire to make their moves because, I mean, not gonna lie, I thought it was wrapped up. I had money on Nigeria, not gonna lie. But clearly not well thought out on my behalf because, I mean, Ivory Coast, they come out with the win. I feel like Nigeria just ran out of gas. I mean, I don't know. We've had our two previous episodes went on the AFCON, right? So we've been talking about it a lot. What are your thoughts overall? Tournament, the final... everything.
Let's first start in the final. Kind of like you said, I also had Nigeria winning. I know based on my allegiance, I should have picked Ivory Coast, but yeah, I went with the logical pick. I thought Nigeria was a logical pick just because based on their form in the tournament and what they've done. But logically, I probably should have picked Ivory Coast because of the momentum that they had. So that was, I guess, a mistake on my part. But hey, Nigeria just let me down once again. That's why I will never root for Nigeria again, probably. But the one time. I thought it was a decent final. I mean, obviously, finals aren't really the greatest games because it's kind of cagey. But we still kind of managed to get a good game. I would say at least. Congrats to Ivory Coast. Crazy run. I mean, honestly, I didn't think they should have been there considering the way they got almost bounced out of their own group.
Yep.
They were. It was misery for the first 3 weeks for them, and then after that, it kind of looked the sun got brighter and stuff. So, a lot of credit to the team for bouncing back because they had no choice but to go all the way at that point because they weren't gonna get another chance like that. Looking at the game though, I think Nigeria's gonna go down with regrets. I think they'll see this as a missed opportunity because they had all the chance to actually win this, and to kind of have those missteps at the final stage. I think they'll definitely like see this as a missed opportunity for them. Although I thought this AFCON is probably one of my favorite ones. I don't know about you. I mean, you didn't follow AFCON until this one, but I think
it's definitely my favorite AFCON. Definitely my favorite AFCON.
Yeah, I would say the same right now. There's so many storylines that like we cannot even touch, like Sebastian Aller, like going from cancer to this.
Yep.
It's actually kind of a crazy story. I think Adingra back in the starting lineup for Ivory Coast was a major. Impact shift to that the team needed, and it proved it because he was really decisive for the past two games. That was a big one. I think stories like Equatorial Guinea, Cape Verde. To be fair, even the disappointments of Morocco, Senegal, and South Africa, yeah. Roman Williams, the keeper, best keeper of the tournament. Like, there's been so many storylines that kind of shift this tournament in such a great direction. And the fact that it was also nonstop action. I think this was the African with the most amount of goals. I can't remember the exact number, but I know there was, like, a ridiculous amount of goals. So overall, like, I thought it was a great tournament. The amount of memes that are coming out of this tournament too, like, the funny moments that happen. The Mali coach with the water on his back of his head, that will live down as one of the greatest memes.
That's been going everywhere.
Yeah, there's so many good moments in this tournament. I think though, probably one of the best winners will be the Cape Verde Tourism. And if you know what I'm talking about, you'll figure it out from there. I think they'll be probably one of the happiest in terms of what the competition kind of brought them. Outside of that, though, I'm looking forward to see what happens in 2025. I think it's in Morocco. Mm-hmm. But this was a great celebration of African football overall. And seeing all the legends that were at the final, too, like Drogba was there. I think Kalu was there as well. I saw the Kanu. I believe Okocha was there as well. Obviously on the loser side, but still, I just thought overall just a great tournament. So very satisfied, very happy. I think AFCON did a great job this year, and hopefully the standard stays the same.
Yep, I want to say a couple things before we move on though. If you look at both of these teams' road to the final, I feel like Ivory Coast definitely had their work cut out for them. Because their first matchup was against the reigning champs, Senegal. And that was obviously a very tough matchup. And then they play one of the biggest dark horses for the whole tournament, Mali, right? Like, a lot of people would not have been surprised if Mali makes a big run. They take them down as well. Congo was a surprise team. That was a crazy finish. Yep. Congo was a surprise team making it to the Final Four. But I guess you could say that's because the stronger teams that were supposed to come out of that side of the bracket kind of had their issues themselves, like Egypt and whatnot. But that game was close. And then the final, obviously, right? But I feel like Ivory Coast had definitely shown that they had performed better against stronger competition, whereas Nigeria, I feel like they had a strong end to the group. And then the game against Cameroon obviously was a big one. But then, you know, Angola only 1-0 and then barely scraping by against South Africa. Kind of feels like they were, like, limping into the final a little bit. Even though we know they have so much talent and whatnot. It kind of just felt like they were always running out of gas near the end of the games. And against a team like Ivory Coast, like, it's going to punish you. Because they thought they had it. I feel like they checked out a little bit.
Yeah, they had like, this 15 minutes gap in the second half where they looked like they just stopped playing. Like, yep. The momentum was clear on the Ivory Coast side, and the second Ivory Coast scored the first goal, you could kind of see the story kind of written itself, wrote itself down. Mm-hmm. They knew Niger just was not playing at all, and the second goal came, and it kind of brought them back to life in a way. Like, they started pressuring and, like, doing the right things, but still not enough to get the second goal. I don't think they were the best attacking team, and I just think overall, like, defensively, they're probably the best team for sure. I think Calvin Bassey for me was the standout defender, probably my favorite defender of the tournament. Olaina is a good tournament, had a good tournament too, but he did not have a good final, I'd say. You could say the same about the Iwobi or even Onyeka. Yeah. I think Ademola Lookman was probably Nigeria's best player overall, if you look at the tournament as a whole, next to with Bassey and a goalkeeper, I'd say as well. I think Nwakali. But outside of that, even Osimhen was sort of disappointing, even though he was very effective. Quiet. But
he was quiet, though.
He was quiet for a lot as well. So, yeah, there's been a lot of, underperformances from a lot of the Nigerian players in the final. And it kind of came at the wrong time. I mean, the worst possible time, because, like, honestly, this was their final to take.
Yep. I feel like most people had them winning it because, you know, they had their pedigree. I feel like they have overall probably some higher-end talent. Like, you know, they have, like, an Osimhen, you know? Like, Haller is good, but he's not Osimhen.
Yes, agreed.
But overall, congrats to Ivory Coast. It's fun to see that the host nation wins it as well.
Ron Kessie, by the way, great tournament too. He started kind of iffy.
Yep.
And even can we talk about the coach final, as well? Though. Yeah, we got to talk about the coach as well. Immerse 5 that comes in like middle in the tournament as they're getting kind of brought back into it and just changes the entire momentum of the team. I don't know if he was the key factor to this, but him being there definitely had an impact. So you got to give him credit as well. Lots of credit to him. Hopefully he gets he probably will get a long-term contract. My guess is he'll probably sign for like a couple years. But yeah, he's definitely showing he definitely started his coaching career the best possible way, really.
What do you think? The final would have been any different if like Boniface was healthy?
I mean, you could say that, but like, it's hard to say. I think I don't even know how Boniface starts over Osimhen, to be honest with you.
But do you think that they both? But... And swap up the formation.
They usually play with one striker. I mean, they could try, but Osimhen and Boniface are kind of similar in the way that I guess Osimhen is kind of a better aerially than the Boniface is. Boniface is better on the ground with the ball on the ground. But it's hard to say honestly. I mean, I really wish he was there to see. I think he would have been a key factor, probably even helped Nigeria to win it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to say that he would have been the factor to where they would have beat Ivory Coast. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't say so. I would say no to that.
Who's your who'd you bet on right now to win the next AFCON?
I don't even know because now the table are kind of shifted towards anybody can kind of win it at this point. I could see maybe Senegal come back. I don't see Ivory Coast doing a double for sure. Keep in mind it's gonna be Morocco the last next year, so Morocco.
I feel like I put money on Morocco.
Yeah,
I'm not a betting man. Except Algerian, I am.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Put money on Algeria.
I'm not putting money on Algeria.
But they gotta show up a different face. They gotta show up a different face from what they showcased this tournament. Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be a lot of pressure on them as well. So to win it all for the next one, I can't tell you that right now. I have no clue.
Who would you pick if you had to put $10 on somebody? I'm just curious. I'm just trying to get you some betting, man.
If I was to put $10 on somebody, I'd say Senegal.
Wow, okay. Do you think Mane plays the next tournament?
He's what, 31 now, 32? Yeah, I think he'll still be in the squad. He probably just won't be starting. I guess he will be on the bench, like a key, like a super sub.
Super sub.
Yeah, depending on how bad he is.
Let's talk Bundesliga.
Bayer Leverkusen, man.
Yeah.
Bayer Leverkusen. I think they might do it.
I think Xavi Alonso is an immense coach. What he has done with this team and the players that he has developed and the way they are playing and the confidence they are exuding is immense. I mean, listen, Bayern Munich, we know Bundesliga is a joke because Bayern just dominated everybody. And it's like that forever and ever. Until they sign a Spurs player. Then apparently you could take Kane out of Spurs, but you can't take Spurs out of Kane. Let me tell you.
And Dyer.
So, I mean, I feel for Harry Kane. If this is the first year that he goes, I mean, he goes to Bayern Munich, a team that's like wins trophies for fun in their own league. And then that's the first year they don't win one. That'd be crazy. I know everybody's talking about it, the memes and everything, but that would be nuts. But I just want to give really like the flowers to Leverkusen because they just played Bayern and it was total domination. I mean, did you see the Mueller like interview after where he's like just ranting because he's so upset?
He was pissed off. He did not recognize this Bayern team. He is pissed off because he's so used to winning too. You get used to winning for 10 years in a row, and then the 1 year you get challenged, now you start getting now you don't even know how to react anymore. It was honestly, this Bayern Leverkusen team has probably been the funnest team to watch play, just because they play such a good brand of football. Xavi Alonso cannot get enough credit for this. I honestly don't see how he stays. Not that we're going to have to talk about this, but I just think...
It's got to be Liverpool, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. But he's done such a good job right now that it'd be a shame if they don't end up winning it. Like, they have to do it.
I mean, I think they'll win the Bundesliga. The question for me is, do they lose a game this year in the Bundesliga? And is Javi Alonso to Liverpool basically a done deal? Is there any chance that he's like, I want to build upon what I did here, you know, play in European football next year?
Honestly, if they don't lose a single game, and I mean that'll give them Champions League. I mean, they're probably in the Champions League regardless. But if they actually have an unbeaten season, I don't see if you have Xabi Alonso, like, okay, Liverpool's there. I mean, you don't get those Liverpool chances every time too. So it feels like it would be an opportunity missed if he doesn't take it now. But at the same time, too, like you haven't lost a game with Leverkusen this season. If that happens, I think it'd be sad if he were to leave. But I wouldn't understand if it was Liverpool.
Do you think there's any other team that would be in the running for him?
Honestly, Bayern.
It just kind of feels like it'd be. Oh man, if he goes to Bayern, I'd be upset about that.
I'd be upset as well.
Like, you know, with the rivals, just win the title away from Bayern, and Bayern once again just like buy the best talent in their own league to like keep their dominance.
I think there's a short list of clubs that he's allowed to discuss with, and they're all clubs that he used to play for. So Liverpool, yeah. Madrid, and Bayern. So Bayern is not impossible. Madrid could be interesting.
If I were him, Liverpool just feels like a match made in heaven. Like Klopp leaving. At this point, and kind of just like, you know, the new blood, he played at the club, he's having such a good season with Leverkusen, like he's showing how that he can manage at the top level in the world. I think it would be a perfect match. If not Liverpool, to me, like if there wasn't like a Liverpool opening, I feel like he'd stay. I'm not sure. Because the other teams I could see, like, I don't see Madrid because they're not going to make a change. They're going to win the league this year, too. We'll talk about that after. And I don't make a run at the Champions League. I don't know. But Barca?
I think Barca's tough because of what the financial situation is. And, like, there's so many issues in the club right now that if you're an up and coming coach, do you really want to deal with that?
True.
Especially a coach that has played for Madrid.
True.
But there's that. I guess there's that loyalty thing as well. Not that it matters. I don't know if it matters as much as for coaches than it does for players. But I don't think the Madrid fans would take it lightly if he were to go to Barca, which is why I think Liverpool is most likely his best option. I think the fact that he still has a pretty good core of players at Liverpool and some young ones as well, he can kind of build onto that. He still has the Van Dijk, he still has Salah, Jota, Luis Diaz, Curtis Jones if he stays, Trent.
Darwin.
Like it's still a great team. I think obviously he'll bring probably some of his players with him. My guess is he'll probably bring a player like a Virts or even a Tapsoba to Liverpool if he were to join, but I think Liverpool would be his best option.
That's what I was going to touch on now. Like, after this year, obviously Leverkusen are having a monumental season. They might win the league for the first time in I don't know how long. They have so much young talent that their club has developed. Do you feel like next year they're losing a bunch of their players? Like, is Wirtz for sure gone? What about Grimaldo? What about Tapsoba?
They're going to lose some players. Not going to lose all of them. I think your players like a Grimaldo will probably get a lot of offers just because the left-back market isn't what it is. He's probably one of the most informed one right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same for Frimpong, I'd say. Vert is tough because he most likely would be the one. He's the one that's most likely to leave, but
you know how it is. He will net $150 million. Like, he will be like the next huge payout for a young talent. He's only 20, and he's playing like this with so much room to grow. Like, this is, I mean, it's not like a Jude Bellingham, but like, it's kind of one of those, right? Like, those like generational world class talents that are young and already impactful. Like, he will get a lot of money.
My issue is that where would he go, though? Because, like, his role is so particular that it doesn't always, like, it's almost like a Thomas Müller hybrid, but just more mobile. Like, he's a pure number 10, really. And you don't see a lot of number 10s, like, roaming around in the game as much now. So I can't really see where he would fit. I know he fits somewhere. I just don't know where exactly.
Could you see him at Liverpool? Could you see him at United? City?
I think City would make a lot of sense because I think he's very similar to Foden in a way. United, I don't think so, just because they already have Bruno as a 10, so he's kind of the general there already. Mm-hmm. I think it'll depend on whether, if assuming that Xavi Alonso does take the Liverpool job, he probably will try to bring Verts in. But then again, it's tough as well because, like, Verts is what, 20, 21?
20 years old.
Coming to the Prem like that, it's not always like the most encouraging thing or the most ideal thing for a player.
You think it's we've a little bit so many
players that have struggled like year one. So
the issue not that is not that struggle, but there's only like a handful of teams that can even afford the price tag that he's gonna go for. So that already limits.
Yeah, that and there's that too. There's that too. Yeah.
Like it's a PSG. It's a Bayern's not paying that much. It is. Barca, no, they can't. Is it Madrid? Maybe. But they don't need him. They already have, like, their midfield is set. They got Bellingham, they got Tchouameni, like, Camavinga, like, they don't need him. So then who's left? PSG and the Prem.
The only two teams that I could see, Liverpool, City, that's pretty much it. Because I don't think, even Arsenal, I don't think, because he's, I mean, we have Odegaard as well, so.
Yeah.
It would really be about between Liverpool and City.
And I want to kind of. I was going to say, like, definitely different upbringings, but I don't want to what happened, like, to Odegaard to happen to where it's when, you know, like, Odegaard, he was like the next generational talent, gets big move to Real Madrid, you know, huge club, and then he warms the bench for a few years. Because he can't get into the starting 11 because they're already so stacked and they just keep buying talent when it's there. Then it only takes one extra move for him to actually, you know, like, be able to develop and really, like, play a lot of minutes and showcase his talent, you know? Yeah. Like, if Madrid signed him, Verts is probably coming off the bench, you know? And Man City too, probably.
Most likely, yeah. Maybe the best option for him is to stay with Leverkusen.
I think he probably stays, and then maybe depending on how the market opens up and different opportunities arise. Because we'll talk about La Liga next, but I mean, let's just go right there because it feels like Madrid have it basically settled that they're going to win the league once again. I mean, Girona was at the top of the table for so long, but they're not. I mean, I didn't see them as a serious contender to win it in the long term. Although you never say never, obviously, but Barca's not catching them 10 points behind at this point. Atletico just dropped points and made me lose my bet, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
tough
weekend when it comes to betting.
I know, Super Bowl and all. But I mean, Madrid have basically La Liga tied up. And now it's kind of like we're seeing the Mbappe news again. And I don't know how you feel about that, but is it finally going to happen?
I will only believe it when I see him sign with the jersey.
Do you think it is? Do you think it's...
Until he signs with the jersey at the Bernabeu, I'm not believing it. Until Fabrizio says, here we go, I'm not believing it.
Here we go. Do you... This is going to be a off-the-ball kind of question, but... Do you believe that Jude Bellingham has any, like, serious chance of winning the Ballon d'Or?
This year?
Yeah. He's leading La Liga in goals. As a midfielder, what I'm saying.
He would have to.
And he's not.
Yeah.
What if they win La Liga and they make a run in the Champions League? Like,
it's gonna make it to the final four, run, like a semis. If he makes it to the semis, then you probably would be the leading candidate, depending on what Mbappe does.
Who would you put ahead of him right now?
I mean, the only one that I could put ahead of him would be anybody that wins it. So maybe if PSG wins it, and Mbappe kind of, I mean, is a standout player, which he probably will be, then you have to give him to Mbappe. But if like Bayern wins it, and like,
I mean, not giving it to anybody on Bayern.
I mean, honestly, outside of Kane, I don't really see who else would. But considering that they wouldn't be winning the Bundesliga as well. He wouldn't be in contention.
Is it like a Haaland if he keeps scoring? So I mean, he missed some time with injury, but if he leads the Prem in goals.
To be honest with you, you could also put Vinicius in there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's what I'm saying. I feel like the options right now are kind of consolidated. Like, there's not really too many to choose from that fit all the parameters of like who is one of the best players in the world and who is having one of the best seasons. And Bellingham by far is like the player that I can think of that's having like the most remarkable season right now.
Agreed. I don't really see, outside of him, Vinicius and Mbappe, I don't really see who else would be
Haaland.
Contention for like the Ballon d'Or.
If Man City win the league,
Haaland maybe,
but Champions League, and Haaland's just scoring like a goal a game, you know, like,
yeah,
I can see him having a conversation, but Mbappe too. Obviously, Mbappe is Mbappe. He's gonna do mental things. He's by far the top scorer in La Liga. He's got like I think more goals than second and third combined, or maybe close.
Something like that, yeah. But no, I don't see. I mean, it's a good question. I think Jude's gonna be in a conversation for sure. I can tell you that. I definitely feel like he will be. Especially if he has a good Euros as well. Like, yeah. If England has a deep run and he's like the key factor to them, it's going to be hard not to give it to him. Especially if he keeps like that goal-scoring pace that he has, which is ridiculous for a midfielder to have in the first place.
I mean, his goal-scoring pace has definitely slowed down.
Yeah, it has. But the performance is still there, regardless of the goals. Yeah,
he's literally still top scorer. Which is just nuts.
Yeah. I mean, they scored this weekend against Girona. I watched the game. It was such a one-sided game, too, by the way.
Like, the fact that Girona is second
to Madrid. Yeah.
He's so dominant. That's what I'm...
He can do so many different things.
Yep. He's like... He truly is a generational talent. Yeah. If I had to choose right now, I'd give it to him.
Yeah, I'm thinking of who... It would be between him and Vinicius.
The thing is, like, Vinicius and Mbappe have probably better stats, but Drew is doing it as a midfielder. That's the complete difference there. The fact that he's even close to the others.
It is, yeah.
How many goals does Vinicius have? 7.
How many goals does he have?
Yeah.
Was it 8?
I just checked. 7 goals.
18? 7 goals?
7 goals. 7 goals and 4 assists. I just checked.
Bellingham?
No, I'm talking about Vinicius.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. Jude has much more than that. Okay.
Jude has 16.
10 goals, 4 assists. Yeah, 16 for a midfielder, man. I would say right now, I don't even know if midfielder is even the right term to him because like he plays pretty much everywhere between the false 9 and the 10 and the 8.
He can do it all. That's why he's so
exceptional. He can do it all. Yeah. They need to say something about... I think I've heard some people call him the modern day Zidane. I can kind of see why. But...
That's high praise.
That's high praise. I don't know if it's like over a little too high, but I think it's deserved at this point. Especially considering what he's been showcasing this year. I don't honestly do see who else would win it outside of him. I'm trying to think of names, but like I can't. I mean, I love the tower, but I don't think like I'm not trying to go crazy here. I'm not trying to go crazy here, so I'm not gonna even try to say that.
He's not in the top 10. I'm sorry.
He's not. He's not in the list of Ballon d'Or. That's all I said. Don't start the top 10 thing again. We don't want to do this for another week. We can't do this for another week.
Okay, but you mentioned Lautaro. Let's talk about Serie A because Inter feel like they're just it's done as well. Kind of feels like all these top leagues are kind of like settling into their winners. We're 2/3 into the season. But they're first place by 7 points with a game in hand over Juve and Milan, AC Milan. I feel like that's wrapped up too. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think that's a wrap as well. They're just way too far ahead of everybody else. And everybody else keeps beating each other. Like Milan beat Napoli yesterday, and Juve lost today, I believe. So everybody's losing points ahead of them.
Yeah, and Napoli is in ninth place.
Ninth?
Ninth place.
Whoa,
they have 35 points. Yeah. They are behind teams like Lazio, Fiorentina, Bologna. Like, how the mighty have fallen from last year? Is it? I don't know what the difference is.
Well, they haven't held Osimhen in a while, so their goal scoring definitely dropped down.
That must be the biggest difference. Still,
yeah. Atalanta, Bologna is number 5 is a surprise. That's probably the why. But I think once Osimhen comes back, give him a couple weeks to kind of recover, they should be back up. I would say, I still believe that they'll finish in the top 4, at least top 5.
What do you make of Giroud's season? He's having a top season too, and I feel like nobody's talking about him. He's 37. He's got like, what is he? 11 goals, 8 assists. He's leading the league in assists.
I think
somebody's got to put a little bit of respect.
Giroud doesn't give enough praise for how effective he is in front of goal.
Milan he's got top class finishing.
He's got top class finishing, yes. There's a reason why he's still in the French national team, even on like 35 mm-hmm. plus.
37. He's 37.
37.
He's almost 40.
He's actually effective as a very effective as a striker. And he's such a I think it's a dream for like 4 players like a Leao or even a, like when Benzema played in the national team, when they put together sometimes they would always look kind of good. He's good. He's good to play off of, just because he'll be able to hold and play the 1-2 right away, and even when he strikes the ball, like he usually strikes it pretty cleanly as well. So he's such an underrated striker. I feel like he goes down as like because he's not the fastest, he's not the strongest. He doesn't look like a typical top like Champions League type striker, but he has such a great career so far that like I don't think you can take that away from him.
No.
Like his goal scoring record is actually.
Isn't he still France's top scorer of all time?
I think he still is. Until Mbappe gets to him eventually.
Yeah, Mbappe will inevitably pass him, but that's still quite the feat.
That is quite a feat, yeah. Considering where he started, too, that is quite the feat.
Yep. But I just wanted to give some praise to him.
Yeah, no, for sure. But for Inter, though, Marcus Thuram, another French striker, by the way.
Mm hmm.
Great season. This guy's having a great season. And it's funny how like Inter always has like those duos up front. The Lautaro Lukaku, Lautaro Dzeko, Lautaro Marcus Thuram. I don't know if you're saying the consistency here. I'm just saying. The
Mkhitaryan.
Marcus Thuram is having such a yeah, Mkhitaryan as well. Barella, by the way. Barella, but one of my favorite midfielders in France. My favorite serial midfielder is Barella. By far.
Man United legend, Darmian.
Çalhanoğlu as well.
Yeah.
I think he's been a revelation. Freaking master. But not just that, just his passing in general, overall. Just the range of passing that he has is almost second to none. He's probably one of the best passers in Europe right now, in my opinion. Anyway, that team in general just is stacked. They lost Onana, they replaced him with Sommer, and it looked like nothing really changed. The same quality of same quality. It's not even like there wasn't like a drop of level since last year. If anything, they got better. But yeah, I don't expect anybody to beat them to the title. And Lautaro will probably finish top scorer once again because he is that guy. And y'all gotta start putting some respect on my boy's name.
We'll see.
That's just me. Just saying.
I wish we didn't spend so much time on the other topics. I do want to touch on the Prem, and I feel like we should have spent the most time here. But is City running away with it? Is that it?
I think it's still a two-horse race with them and Liverpool.
I like what Liverpool have done, and I was definitely more encouraged, I feel like, a few weeks ago. But now you have the Salah injury. You have Trent, who's now injured. I feel like now their depth is really going to be pushed to the test. And Man City have the luxury of benching their star players on a weekly basis, where now Liverpool are going to be put to the test on performing without some of their best players. I think Jota has been like really good in Salah's absence. Darwin gets so many chances. He's like a Lautaro, but even worse finishing. But Liverpool's defense right now kind of scares me a little bit, because no Trent, obviously, which takes away from their attacking creativity. Robertson has been solid. Van Dijk is obviously solid. Szoboszlai injured too. I feel like a lot of things are just maybe starting to fall apart.
They got Endo back in the midfield. I think that was a good stabilizer for them, because I'd say he was having a pretty good season. And you can kind of see how, I think they're a better team when he plays more so than when he doesn't. Was the same with McAllister, really.
Yeah.
I think that the combination of Diaz, Jota, Nunez, and Gakpo can get you wins. They'll get you goals enough for you to like stay competing with City. Is that enough to win now? I think it's hard for them. It'll be hard for them to win without Salah coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is still the best player. More so than...
I think Salah will be back like in the near future. Like maybe in a few weeks, he'll be at 100%. But I think Man City are just like revving up right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially since the second they got De Bruyne back, it was like a different season for them.
Yeah, and De Bruyne has been coming off the bench and like assisting,
scoring. Like, he's been doing everything.
It's nuts.
It's like I said, it's gonna be hard for me to not put City ahead of Liverpool. I know Liverpool is ahead right now, and they kind of have to keep it that way for the as long as they can.
I mean, they're a game ahead. So if City win their next game, they're ahead on points, even on games played.
Right.
So that it's already out of their hands right now. If like City never lose for the rest of the season, it's over.
Yeah. You kind of just know that City's gonna come is right behind them, though. Like, you kind of know what's gonna happen.
For sure. I think it's a three horse.
So it's three horse race.
I think it's a three horse race.
Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal definitely. I mean, Arsenal, Liverpool, and City are within 2 points. 2 points. Anything can happen. That's one game week. You know, like obviously these teams are top class, but we both know that in the Prem, Man City can lose to Sheffield United on any particular weekend.
That is true, but the odds of that happening
are low. But it just takes one. We're 2/3 into the season. There's about, like 17 games left? You're telling me there's not going to be one upset to some of these top teams? It's going to be about who stays consistent and who doesn't have that massive blunder. And these teams play each other.
You're saying that City will get an upset. Don't you think Arsenal will get an upset too?
Yeah, definitely. But then these teams also play each other. So.
Yeah, and that's going to be the critical game. When exactly. That happens, I guess that'll be... That'll be actually the more critical game as to what decide. That'll be more sort of a top decider, really. But I don't know if I can put Arsenal in the contenders yet. Not yet, but like at all, because us not being able to get a striker, we kind of have to pray that Jesus doesn't get injured again, or
I mean, Trossard stays healthy and Havertz
stays healthy. Who
has he even come back yet, Jesus? I feel like he's injured right now.
Pretty sure he came back. I'm not sure about the latest injury.
He didn't play last game. I'm pretty sure.
He didn't play against West Ham, did he?
No.
Okay, then you might be serious there. It was 6-0. I did not know that. But see, like, if we keep losing Jesus to, like, injuries like that, I mean, as good as Havertz has been, is he the end? He's not. I don't know if he's the answer for, like, our striking option. No. Our striking options, even though he is probably the best option right now. That's not enough to get you a title. You're not going to win with that.
From how I see it, I think Arsenal have the best defense in the league. And I think what the best defense does to you is that it really gives you a huge, like, great chance at beating lesser opposition. So I feel like Arsenal has less of a chance of losing against a Sheffield or whatnot. Whereas we've seen Man City prone to letting in an early goal or a late goal to wipe away their clean sheet. Liverpool, I feel like it will be a question about health. Arsenal, I feel like you guys are also beaten up. City are kind of getting healthy right now. So I think, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends City, Arsenal, Liverpool, you know? I would definitely bet on City right now. But I think, I mean, I'm more optimistic about you guys than you are, apparently.
It looks like it. I don't know. I think the fact that we didn't have any much movement in the transfer window, I mean, to be fair, not much, not everybody pretty much didn't have any movement in the transfer window, but, like, I haven't seen any shift in the way that we play with the false nine and whatnot. And I do agree with a lot of fans when they say that we need a striker in that position rather than the false nine. I know Ivan Toney was available. I don't know if that's going to be realistic because of the 100 million like fee that Brentford wants for him. And we got to look at the list of names. But the fact is we still don't have a striker for the rest of the season. And that kind of worries me. That kind of tells me that either we want to gamble and hope that Jesus stays healthy, which we already know that he won't be, and rely on him and Havers to like lead your line. And like I said, I'm not confident that that can win you a league, especially not the Prem.
That's true. I definitely give it to the two other teams. Definitely have stronger attacking options, so definitely be a conversation. But I'm not counting you guys out. Let's end with the Asian Cup. Qatar back-to-back champions. I feel like this one kind of shocked me, to be honest, because I know they were strong, right? But I was definitely giving an edge to, you know, Japan and South Korea in the middle of the tournament anyways, before they lost. But I feel like we saw a lot of teams kind of like, you know, showcase their skills and really put themselves on the map to be taken more seriously. And congrats to Qatar.
Congrats to Qatar. And you know this is actually their second in a row.
Yeah.
They won the last one as well. Back to back. And if anything, congrats to Jordan as well. Historical tournament for them. To actually make it to the final is pretty good accomplishment.
Most definitely.
I think Qatar is just kind of rising in power again. Especially in the Asian region, they're probably one of the best. I mean, they are the best team right now. Maybe not on paper, but at least based on the performance and the results, they're up there. It's funny. I wish that would have happened during the World Cup. That would have been interesting. But oh well, it is what it is. But to me specifically, the most disappointing thing was the Japan. I don't know if it's Japan or South Korea for you as the most disappointing team. To me, it's South Korea because. I think that they had a pretty good opportunity to finally get an Asian Cup. They haven't had one in a while, a very, very long time. The game against, I mean, they've got saved three times twice in overtime.
Yeah.
And eventually the third time, it was too much. They didn't even shoot on goal that game against Jordan. So I think for them, it'll be, they'll see this, kind of like Nigeria, they'll see this as a missed opportunity. Son is already, 31? It's going to be tough for him to... I mean, I'm sure he'll be at the next one, but he won't be, like, at the form that he is today. At that point, it'll probably be Kang and Lee's team. Kang and Lee from PSG.
Yep. I was going to say, I feel like this was this was one of their strongest teams to date, I feel like, especially going forward. Like a front three of Kangin Lee, Son, and Hwang Hee-chan, like, who's been having a really underrated season in the Prem this year for Wolves. I think that front three is honestly extremely dangerous. So it's kind of disappointing to see that, like, they didn't even get a shot on goal against Jordan, and going out without even scoring one, like, definitely disappointing. I also expected more from Japan, but yeah. I had higher hopes for Korea, if that makes sense. I mean, Japan just kind of feels like a devastating loss, to be honest. A 96-minute penalty, that's just... Yeah.
Oof. I'm just a bad mistake. I feel like Japan's loss is like more unfortunate than the more unfortunate though, because it was, I mean, not unfortunate, but like it was a mistake. It was a silly mistake against Iran, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess you could say like, okay, it's Iran. They're good. Iran is a good team too. They have pretty good, some solid players, but you expect Japan to dominate, and they weren't able to do that. So for I think Japan will be probably even more disappointed, just because they didn't even get to be at the stage where they expected to be. But South Korea was there, and they fumbled it. So for me, I think South Korea has to be the bigger disappointment, because honestly, if they win that game against Jordan, I don't see how they lose against Qatar.
Yeah, and like I don't want to take anything away from Qatar, obviously, but I'm not impressed by the team, because they're definitely a strong team, but like it. But, I mean, also, like, the final was three penalties,
which
is in itself, you know, I don't want to say suspicious, but very coincidental. You're not going to get three penalties.
If they're PKs, yeah.
Were they all PKs?
I'd say two of them were most likely PKs. The third one was a bit iffy, but I can see why it got given.
So yeah, but I guess a lot of praise to Jordan though to make it this far. I don't think anybody had them going this far.
I didn't. I surely didn't. Did you not bet on Jordan? You should have bet on Jordan.
I did not.
You would have made so much money.
I mean, they lost, but
they did lose. I'm just trying to find good ways for you to get money back for your losing bets, because you've had a lot of those lately.
It's okay. Let me worry about that.
Did you bet on United this weekend?
I did.
Hey, look at that. That worked out.
But then I parlayed it with Atletico versus Sevilla, and that did not go
right,
well.
Right. That's not that stuff. I know we haven't touched on United, but I'll just say Rasmus Højlund, and we're starting to see a bit of a resurgence here.
The young guns. Højlund, Koyo Mainoo. Ooh.
Garnacho. Ooh. McTominay.
Oh, that goal. We'll end on this, but that goal, the minute control, step away from the defenders, the Dalot cross perfectly, the McTominay power header. Woo! You're getting me. Woo! You're getting me hot.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Okay, Kev. All right. Okay. You really loved that goal, didn't you?
I mean, and to win the game, woo! Hey,
I mean, it was a great game winner. But I'm just talking about how there seems to be a bit more consistency on the United side right now, even though it's not. I mean, the Wolves game was sort of an individual like brilliance by Mino, but still, a win is a win, right?
Yep.
They're picking up points a little bit. What do we say? Top four, top five? Do we?
I'm hoping we can squeeze into a top four spot. I'm hoping we can.
Because Villa's are looking shaky right now.
Villa's looking shaky, and the fact that we just took points off of them is very good. I think we can do top four. Like, we're 5 points behind. 5 points is a lot. That's two games that got to go in your direction. But like you said, Villa look kind of shaky. I feel like the defense is kind of like falling apart a little bit. They're getting a lot of key injuries. Pau Torres has been injured. Konza has been injured. So they'll have to definitely sharpen up. But I kind of trust Emery to right the ship a little bit and not let it get too far out of hand. And United are just prone to falling into bad spells of form. Four wins in a row, though, I won't complain. I'm definitely very excited for what I'm seeing from Garnacho and Højlund specifically, because for the longest time, I feel like Hoyland has not been getting any service at all. And now the fact that he's getting some opportunities and he's converting them makes me very encouraged for the future. Garnacho is definitely a bright spot. Bruno, obviously, I feel like I always love Bruno's. I like his game. I like his game. And what we're getting from Kobe Mainoo, I feel like it's just an extremely pleasant surprise. That's just kind of like rounding out the group perfectly. Really liking what I'm seeing. And he's like getting a lot of minutes, so he deserves it.
We need Rashford to step up, though.
Yep, and when he does, it'll make us even more dangerous, because now we're getting, you know, we're having this run of form without Rashford at his top game. So when he does get there, and we know how good Rashford can be, I feel like that's, we're starting to come into our own.
Yeah, even Maguire is looking good out there.
Honestly, I don't want to admit it, but yes. He's definitely
You don't admit it. Just admit it, bro. It's the truth. It's the truth. You can't keep hitting on your guy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But I'm a little bit worried. Shaw got hurt. It seemed like he got subbed at halftime. Hopefully that's not anything serious or long term. But he's always injured, which is unfortunate, man. Wish him the best.
Unfortunate, but yeah, it's the truth with him. He has one of the most like horrible injury record.
Yep.
That I've ever seen. Which is sad because he's such a great player.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. That'll wrap it up for this episode. Episode 1-5 in the books. Anything last to say?
Happy Valentine's Day for the future. Go get yourself some flowers, some chocolate, maybe a card, maybe a little gift, a little extra gift. And be a good boyfriend or girlfriend.
We got the pro boyfriend tips over here from our boy Yanis. If you're living a single life like me, it's just any other Wednesday.
Any other Wednesday, man. Go to the gym.
Go to the gym, work, watch a movie by yourself. Buy yourself some chocolate. Have fun. It is what it is.
Oh, come on. It sounds depressing, bro.
It is depressing. Okay, anyway, we're wrapping it up. Come on, 1-5 in the books. Come on, man. If you made it this far, we're surprised. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for not watching. And we hope to see you next episode. Peace.
Thanks for not watching.
Well, we don't got video.